Good evening. It's 5 o'clock. This is the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, people could be putting their own communities at risk going on holidays abroad, according to a former head of the HSE. 2021 has been almost written off by the tourism sector, according to representatives for the industry speaking to TDs today. The Taoiseach admits it's very unusual for there to be no ministers west of the Shannon, but Leo Varadkar is playing down the impact of having a voting minister at Cabinet. Speculation, meanwhile, mounts that there could be two union ministries for Donegal as part of the announcement of ministers of state tomorrow. And we'll hear from the general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital about the return to normal there. And later in the bulletin, Oisin is here with the sports news that's coming up at around 5:15. Good evening. People could be putting their own communities at risk by going on holidays abroad, according to the former head of the HSE. Tony O'Brien says visiting a relative or a loved one is a completely different thing to travelling to a resort. He was speaking as the chief medical officer, Tony Houlihan, urged people to reconsider any summer holidays they may have booked. Tony O'Brien says it's the nature of holiday resorts that social distancing barriers tend to fall.
If you have literally a melting pot of people from lots of different countries with lots of different scenarios on COVID, putting yourself, your family at risk, and obviously if we return to the country and don't follow proper self-isolation, we're putting our communities at risk, and that could roll back all of the progress that we've made in this very difficult last few months.
Well, 2021 has almost been written off by the tourism sector, according to representatives for the industry. They want the temporary wage subsidy scheme to be extended and VAT rates cut to help businesses survive. With more, here's Ben Finnegan.
The COVID-19 committee in the Dáil has been hearing from representatives of pubs, restaurants and hotels on the recovery of the sector after the pandemic. They say without support from government, the economy will lose 10 billion euro over the next 5 years. Padraig Cribben from the Vintners Federation of Ireland says there is a lot of uncertainty for the sector.
2020 is absolutely written off. I think 2021 is close enough to being absolutely written off. I suspect that getting back to 2019 levels is probably going to be a minimum of 2023 and possibly into 2024.
Meanwhile, there's been criticism for landlords and insurance companies who the sector say haven't been helping the situation. CEO of the Restaurants Association is Adrian Cummins.
There has been no payout or little on business interruption claims. Landlords definitely not stepped up to the plate. Utility providers have disconnected services.
The industry is now calling on the government to bring in a range of measures in the July stimulus package to help the sector survive and plan for the future.
No further deaths due to COVID-19 have been reported today in Northern Ireland. There have been just three more cases. The region's death toll remains at 551. There have been 5,760 cases in total. The EU has confirmed that the US is not on its list of safe countries whose citizens will be allowed in from tomorrow. The bloc has approved travellers from 14 countries, including Australia, Canada and Japan. Russia, the US, Brazil and China are among those excluded for at least another 2 weeks. A 50-year-old man has been arrested for terrorism offences in Northern Ireland. It follows searches in Rosslea County, Fermanagh this morning as part of an ongoing investigation into violent dissident hooligan activity. The man was taken to Musgrave Serious Crime Suite in Belfast for questioning. He remains in custody there. The Taoiseach has admitted it's very unusual for there to be no ministers west of the Shannon. Leo Varadkar says the issue will be addressed in the appointment of junior ministers, which is expected tomorrow. There's been anger over the lack of ministries appointed to the west and southeast of the country. Leo Varadkar, however, is playing down the impact of having a voting minister at Cabinet.
It is very unusual for there not to be any senior minister in Connacht west of the Shannon. I've no doubt that'll be rectified at the reshuffle, if not before. But in the meantime, we do have Hildegard Nocton and Dara Cleary there. They are full members of Cabinet, if not senior ministers. And I know people say they don't have a vote. There's never a vote of Cabinet. There hasn't been a vote of Cabinet since the 70s or early 80s.
Well, speculation is mounting that there could be two junior ministers in Donegal when tomorrow's announcement is made. Fine Gael Tidy Joe McHugh and Fianna Fáil Tidy Charlie McConnellogue are both being tipped to receive junior minister portfolios. It follows serious concern raised locally and along the west coast that that whole area from Donegal to Limerick isn't represented at Cabinet. Fianna Fáil councillor Patrick McGowan is confident that Taoiseach Micheál Martin will address the issue.
I suppose it's a case that each party leader really had five nominations, including themselves. So you know, themselves and five others, and then the Greens had really a point too. So I think really there's not that many surprises. It's surprising that there was been no minister of the whole Western Seaboard, that it is. But, you know, a lot's going to have to be done here. It's the way ministers do their work and get out of their own counties, because the people in the West will not accept that. Like, and obviously, the big question now is, where will these junior ministers and ministers of states, where are they going to be located? Like, and definitely be hoping that Donegal would at least get maybe two of them, I would be hoping for.
Because regardless of speculation or lack thereof, there is a profound disappointment here in the North West and the West indeed. Do you think that disappointment and outcry will be reflected in Micheál Martin's decision on his junior ministers tomorrow?
I don't know necessarily whether he'll work in that way, but I think he will try and give some reasonable balance. I think he really has to. I think he'll probably, the numbers that they're working with and the spread, but there is an expectation that the West of Ireland will certainly do a lot better when it comes to the appointment of junior ministers. But we're only speculating. Micheál Martin, as everybody knows, is very much his own man, and I would say we can expect some prizes come down the line.
And that was Councillor Patrick McGann there speaking to Catherine Gaffney earlier today. The general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital has given reassurances that the resumption of services is at an advanced stage. Outpatient appointments are largely reinstated at the hospital, while technology is being used for some consultations. Manager Sean Murphy says there is a good system in place to bring in those who need in-house treatment in a safe manner. He says a lot of work has been done in preparation over the past number of weeks.
Across all services, everything is beginning to be back up and running. In fact, well advanced in being back up and running. So our outpatients are largely reinstated. There's a few clinics, some visiting clinics from colleagues in Sligo, some internal that are haven't restarted yet, but will be starting the next over the next couple of weeks. I was just with our physiotherapy manager yesterday morning, agreeing the reinstatement or restart of a number of our physio clinics. Obviously, and I've said this before, and I suppose it's important to keep reiterating that we're using technology, either video conference and using the Attend Anywhere software, and I know that you've spoken about that before on your program, and also in some cases telephone triages with patients to use technology to reduce the number of patients that need to physically present at the hospital. But there are some patients, for a variety of reasons, either the treatment or receiving access to technology, etc. There's a number of patients that technology and remote consultations will not be appropriate for. So we've got a good system in place to bring those patients in safely.
Mm-hmm.
Those that have attended the outpatient service will be aware that, you know, we're asking people to phone from their car when they arrive. And we check them in over the phone and call them when they're ready for their appointments. So we're not having patients sitting around waiting rooms.
And that was Sean Murphy, the manager of the Letterkenny University Hospital. He was speaking there to Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show. Thousands of tons of mud has destroyed acres of land in County Leitrim. Landslides have forced two homes to be evacuated. A bridge is now covered over with mud near Drumcarran. Farmers are reporting that some animals are now missing, and there are fears more rain will make the situation worse. The chair of the Leitrim IFA is Desmond McHugh.
We've heard that some animals are missing. Nobody hurt. People did evacuate homes on Sunday evening. Sandbanks were put around houses, and there were two homes in particular. My fear would be that with additional rainfall, which may happen in the next few days, that more will take off. Without doubt, it's just sitting there to move.
An investigation has been launched into the theft of 20 lambs in the New Mills area of Donegal. The theft took place in the townland of Killymasney over the past 4 to 5 days. Garda Gráinne Doherty is urging anyone with information to come forward, particularly with concerns that a trend could be developing.
Now, there were a lot of other sheep in the field also that weren't taken, just the lambs, the 20 lambs. These lambs have distinctive markings. They've a green and red mark on their shoulder, each lamb. And our appeal is just if anybody has any information that might assist with our investigation, to contact Guards in Letterkenny on 074 9167 100. There was one over in the Inishowen area also, yeah, that 40 sheep were stolen. Mm. So We're hoping that this isn't the start of a trend, you know, so we want to keep on top of this. So,
meanwhile, substantial damage has been caused to a holiday home in Port Salon. It happened at some point between March 12th and June 24th. The owners made the discovery in recent days. The burglary occurred at a holiday home under construction in the Rockmont area of Port Salon. The fact that it had been burgled was only recently discovered and then reported. Garda Gráinne Doherty has been giving further detail on the incident, and she's appealing to other holiday home owners in the area to ensure their properties are checked.
There was quite substantial damage caused, actually. There was a sliding door and the lock and handle were damaged. The door was damaged. Entry was gained, but nothing was taken. The house was under construction. The house had been empty for quite some time. Our appeal is for anybody in that area who may have noticed any sort of suspicious activity to contact Guards in Milford on 07491 53060, and also maybe to anybody else that has a holiday home in that area. You know, possibly it hasn't been visited over the past number of months. Maybe it might be a good time to go and check on their premises also, just in case.
Two men have been detained in Derry following a number of incidents in the early hours of this morning. Several cars were vandalised and an attempt was made to hijack a car. With more detail, here's Greg Hughes.
At around 3:30 this morning, police responded to reports of two males causing damage to cars in the Brookdale Park area, including wing mirrors being kicked off vehicles. A further report was received a short time later of an attempted vehicle hijacking in the Glengalia Road area of the city, during which a man allegedly jumped in front of the driver of a Ford Kuga and made an attempt to get into the vehicle. As the driver attempted to drive off a short distance away, a second male appeared on the road and shouted at the driver to get out of the car. Police say the driver was able to get away. Two males, aged 18 and 21 years of age, have since been arrested, both on suspicion of criminal damage and attempted hijacking. Both males remain in custody at this time. Police say at least nine vehicles were damaged in what they say can only be described as wanton vandalism, and are urging people whose cars were damaged to get in touch.
Staying in Derry, and detectives are appealing for information about an incident in the Abercorn Road area of the city last night. A report was received at around 25 past 11 that a man brandishing a suspected firearm arrived at the property and tried to force his way inside. Adrian Harmon has the details.
Police say that the suspect may have been accompanied by a second male. The male occupant was able to stop the man from getting inside the flat, who then made off. No injuries were reported. The male who tried to force his way inside the flat is described as being aged between 20 and 30 years old, of slim, skinny build, and is thought to be around 5 foot 9 inches tall, and wore a dark beanie hat, a dark-coloured hooded top and bottoms, and had his mouth and nose covered with what's described as a dark-coloured snood. Detective Sergeant Lizzie Billentine says inquiries into this incident are continuing, and they're appealing to anyone who may have been in the area and saw any suspicious activity, including any individuals or any vehicles being driven in a suspicious manner, to get in touch with detectives at Strand Road by calling 101.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, where you'll find all the leading brands and running footwear from top names like Brooks, Asics and New Balance, in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
16 minutes past 5 o'clock. We say good evening to Washington Kelly.
Yeah, thanks, Don. We're going to start with soccer. Good news for Fin Harps and Derry City. They'll be coming back to play in action in the Premier Division of the SSE Air Trustee League when the league resumes on July 31st. The season will be shortened to two rounds of fixtures, the first of which, of course, had begun prior to the lockdown. Promotion and relegation will remain intact as before. The National League Executive Committee's decision has been sent now to the board of the FAI for ratification. FAI Interim Deputy CEO is Niall Quinn, and he has welcomed today's announcement on the resumption.
Yeah, so the NLEC today decided to go with what was known as Option 1, which is effectively the least disruptive offering that was on the table. And so what it means for football, I guess, is that there's clarity in the air now, and we know sort of a lot more about what resuming is going to look like. So that was great. That clarity was important. And I suppose the NLEC looked at all options, and then indeed, over the last week or 10 days, since we knew financially that it was going to be palatable for the clubs to come back, it was about overcoming some other complex issues like promotion relegation and indeed the FAI Cup interest as well. So there's been a number of ongoing things happening. There's been good dialogue with clubs. Everybody's opinion has been taken into account to this point. From my observations, the NLEC did a really good job in looking at all avenues of possibility. And today, you know, the decision, which still has to be ratified by the FAI board, but it gives that nice view of what the fixture list looks like now, and we can start on the 31st of July, the bank holiday weekend, and it feels closer definitely after that announcement from the NLEC today that we're heading back. I think there's been a lot of complexities along the way. It started off with, as you know, a nervousness around actually resumption for medical reasons, and we had a lot of work to do on that. And then, of course, financial reasons, but, you know, we managed to get through that sort of problem. And of course, now the nitty gritty of things like promotion, relegation, of the length of season, of how clubs can manage. Those who are in Europe will have extra games, as you know, getting players back to training. It's been one step at a time, but today feels like it's a big step.
FAI CEO Niall Quinn, temporary CEO Niall Quinn, of course, speaking there on the resumption of the league, which will be on the 31st of July. Across channel, Shane Duffy is in line to make his first Premier League start since February. Republic of Ireland defender will be restored to Brighton's defence tonight for the visit of Manchester United. Saturday's substitute appearance against Arsenal was Duffy's first since the loss of his father in May. His manager, Graham Potter, is delighted to have him back.
He's been first class in terms of around the players, encouraging the boys. There's nobody happier than him after the Arsenal game. It was wonderful to see. So he's a great example in that regard. And he's ready to help and fight for us, no matter whether he's starting, whether he comes on for 1 second, he'll be there for you and he'll be fighting for you.
Manchester United boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has challenged his side to remain unbeaten until the end of the season. United go to Brighton tonight, unbeaten in all competitions since January, which is a run of 14 matches. Solskjaer admits he will need every single player in the squad to be at their best as they chase down a top four place.
There's different things that can play a part in this run, but we hope to extend it and want it as long as possible. We've just got to take one game at a time. We'll need a squad, everyone needs to play a part, and we're delighted with the way things are going at the moment.
Kick-off in the Amex Stadium tonight is at 8:15. Liverpool defender Joel Matip has been ruled out for the rest of the season with a foot injury. The Cameroon international was hurt in the champions' goalless draw at Everton in their first match after the Premier League's resumption. Jurgen Klopp's team will face Manchester City next Thursday. In Gaelic games, Colm O'Rourke has added his voice to the chorus looking for sanctions for counties to disregard training guidelines. The GAA have asked all intercounty teams to refrain from training until September 14th. Offaly GAA chairman Michael Dignam has said that many counties have broken that deadline. It suggested that at least two-thirds of the counties have already returned to training. Meath legend O'Rourke says there needs to be punishments put in place.
I'm a school principal and I realised a long time ago, like, there's no point in having a sanction or having a rule if you don't have a sanction. If you do X, you get Y. And it works very simple, and everybody understands that in life. And, like, if you're going to have a training ban and yet counties are flouting it and flouting it openly without sanction, then the whole thing becomes a joke.
Finally, in racing, the British Horse Racing Authority has confirmed this evening's meeting at Leicester will go ahead as planned. The fixture had been in doubt after the city was placed under lockdown measures due to a spike in coronavirus cases. Restrictions will have to stay in place there until at least the 18th of July. That's it, Donal. We'll have more sport tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Washing. There has been a big uptake in the micro-address scheme in Donegal already, with a significant number of people using both the website and the dedicated helpline. The long-awaited scheme officially opened yesterday morning, and with the majority of affected homeowners having completed preparatory work in advance, Donegal County Council has received a significant number of applications in the first 24 hours. The chair of the Micro Steering Committee in Donegal, Councillor Martin McDermott, says that the local authority has a good system in place to ensure a quick turnaround in applications. He says it's anticipated that people can move to the next stage in a matter of weeks.
There's been a very, very big uptick in the people contacting the council. There's been large numbers of people contacting the council yesterday, and the website has been very large numbers of people on it and trying to get information. Also, when the scheme opened on Monday morning, there's been a significant amount of applications already submitted to the council with their tests and with their engineering reports already done. So we're in a good place to get going, and hopefully now over the next few weeks the council can get that work done and get the confirmation back out to the people so that they can start the stage two process of getting a contractor in place to get the building work started. And that's what we want to see. We want to see houses started to be fixed. That's the whole emphasis of this programme.
And obviously, you know, those who have applied need to have a bit of patience due to the large scale in applications to be processed.
Yeah, it's going to take a bit of time, but hopefully the council have put a lot of proprietary work on over the last couple of months, so they should be in a position to to get those turned around in a nice, good, quick timeline and get people back out and get them in a position where they can start getting their houses fixed. And that will be starting hopefully in the next number of months.
And that was Councillor Martin McDermott there. Looking at the weather forecast for today, Tuesday, further scattered outbreaks of rain and drizzle tonight with mist and fog patches on hills and coasts. Lowest overnight temperatures 8 to 11 degrees Celsius in light northwest breezes. Some brighter spells tomorrow Wednesday, but overall it'll be cloudy with scattered outbreaks of showery rain. Highest temperatures tomorrow 14 to 16 degrees Celsius in light variable mainly northwest breezes. The main stories in brief, and the EU has confirmed the US is not on its list of safe countries whose citizens will be allowed in from tomorrow. The bloc is approving travellers from 14 countries, including Australia, Canada and Japan. Russia, the US, Brazil and China are among those excluded for a further 2 weeks. Meanwhile, as the Irish government prepares to publish its green list of countries in the coming week, the former head of the HSE has warned people could be putting their own communities at risk by going on holidays abroad. Tony O'Brien said visiting a relative or loved one is completely different to travelling to a resort. He was speaking as the chief medical officer urged people to reconsider any summer holidays that they have booked. 2021 has almost been written off by the hospitality sector, according to representatives for the industry. And we're back with news again at 6. Until then, from the news team, have a very good evening. The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 30th of June. The death has taken place of Michael Dunyan, 160, Ballycommon Estate, Strabane, formerly of 195 Lower Main Street, Strabane. Funeral from his home on Thursday morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane at 10 o'clock, interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Church of the Immaculate Conception Restoration Fund, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam at mcnmedia.tv/camera/Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane. The death has occurred of John Clark, Dresna, Castle Finn. Requiem Mass will be celebrated tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St. Columbus Church, Dunnyloop, interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Due to the government restrictions, the house, mass and interment are private to family and close friends only, please. Family flowers only, donations in lieu if desired to Medical 4 Ward or Oncology Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Charles Lynch, Funeral Director, or any family member. The death has occurred at his late residence of Conmacue, Dearlaw, Litchimica Ward. His remains are reposing at his late residence with Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St. Bridget's Church, Litchimica Ward, interment afterwards in the new cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private, please. The death has occurred at his home of Michael Doherty, Chapel Street, Stranorra. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorra at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Stranorra Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live at churchservices.tv/Stranorra. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and friends only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Orthopaedic Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Annie Crowe, formerly of London and Mondewy Manor Cunningham. Her remains are reposing at the home of Leslie and Barbara Stewart, Mondewy Manor Cunningham. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private, please. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Brindley Manor Nursing Home, care of Gibson Funeral Directors. And the death has taken place of Kathleen Mullarkey, Thomas Ballasalla, Glengad, Mallon. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Lag, Mallon, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, please.